The Green Bay Packers are in the midst of organized team activities. To talk all matters Packers, we welcome in to the show former fullback and coach Harry Sidney. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central on 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about organized team activities, and to do so, we have a guest joining us on the phone. We have former Packers fullback and coach Harry Sidney joining us, also a current broadcaster at WDUZ Radio in Green Bay. Mr. Sidney, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Very good. We're glad you could join us on the show. To kick things off, I'm interested, as a former fullback yourself, I'm guessing you might have some insight into the current Packers situation at the position. As we know, the Packers drafted Aaron Ripkowski in the NFL draft while they have John Kuhn kind of near the end of his career. And what I wanted to know is if you were in the shoes of either of those players, either as the rookie about to replace a veteran or a veteran about to be replaced by a young up-and-comer, can you share any of those experiences?
Well, first of all, I'd probably be mad at my mom and dad for not convincing me to play golf or something. because the fullbacks they're no longer used, man. Fullbacks are rare. You got Kuhn who's playing for a year, you got the new deck. But fullbacks are not a position, and in McCarthy's offense in years past, the tight end and fullback has been very interchangeable.
I mean, have you ever been in the shoes, though, of a guy who's like, you know, about to replace a veteran, or you were you the once the rookie about to replace somebody else on the roster?
Oh, definitely. I remember my first year in the NFL after trying to get involved, because I played at the USFL, got cut from, you know, Seattle and Cincinnati in the early 80s and played in the USFL. And I remember when I had a chance at San Francisco, it was between myself, a rookie but 27 years old, against Bill Ring, the fullback. One of us had to go, and with Bill being at San Francisco for years, there's a relationship that he had with everybody. You know, it wasn't just on the field, but, you know, you saw Bill Ring, or you see John Kuhn loved in the community and all those different things. You have, but as a young player, you have to compete, but you also know you're competing not just on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
You're competing with all the other things he's involved with.
Yeah, definitely. With these two players now, do we think John Kuhn's job is safe at least for this year?
Not at all. Not at all, because I think you got a rookie that's coming in that's making X amount. You have a aging veteran that many people wouldn't assign. That if you look at his role on the team, has been diminished. Now, Kuhn's role was more important than the offense at times, because not just because of every time Little run the ball, but he was that third down guy, the pass protection that could help. But over the last couple of years, you see Eddie Lacy has taken those reps. And now they're hoping there's somebody else that takes his reps. So when you look at Kuhn, you know, when you talk about teams, and he brings something special to the plate, but what does he really bring to the plate?
Yeah. I see what you're saying. You know,
and it costs more. And it costs more than the end guy.
A few years ago, the Packers kept up to three fullbacks on the roster. That's a pretty rare occurrence. I mean, no other team is doing that in the NFL. Is it possible they keep two on the roster this year?
No, and that's what I said earlier with Mike McCarthy in years past. Now, the difference is they have to find out what tight end is a tight end. And so because of that, they'll keep more tight ends. So I don't see any need for two fullbacks.
Interesting. We're talking to former Packers fullback and coach Harry Sidney here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Mr. Sidney, what one of your former colleagues,
yes,
Mike.
Hey, you can just call me Harry. You can call Mr. Sidney. You can call me Harry, please.
Okay, will do. Harry.
Yeah.
One of your former colleagues, Mike Sherman, was just hired as a high school football coach in his native Massachusetts. So I was wondering what your reaction was when you heard that news.
Well, it's interesting because I coached high school football myself here in Green Bay when I retired and I opened up my program, my brother's keeper. It's a different world, but it's the purest form of football world because you've got guys that are young that really don't know, but they want to know. And you have a guy that's coaching them that does know. So it's going to be interesting to see how they respond to him. And not only that, but he's going to have to downgrade his coaching level to a degree.
I mean, is that what it's like when you go from coaching the highest athletes at the top of their sport to the kids who are just developing?
Well, if you love coaching, that's the funnest part because you get to see a guy's eyes open up when he gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fun part. And yeah, as young guys, and we're in the young generation, where a lot of young people think they know everything anyway. Anyway. But, and so football, what I realized the worst thing for high school football was John Madden football.
They think they know it all.
Yeah, they think they can this play, this guy makes this amazing play. Then all of a sudden you think you're going to do that on the football field and it doesn't work.
Oh, that's funny. If I could ask you a personal question, I was wondering what made you stay in Green Bay after your career in football was over? Because you're not from Wisconsin originally, so what made you stay in the area?
It's real simple. There's a lot of reasons, but the main one is the love of a good woman.
Mm-hmm.
You met a good woman. There's that, and we started a program, my brother's keeper, when I retired from football.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my life, I went through a lot of hard times growing up in life and wish I had somebody to tell me the truth about life to help me go down the right path and stop me from causing damage in my life. And we opened my brother's keeper in 2003 just to do that. And since then, it's been successful. We worked at over 16,000 boys in the ages 11 to 65. And so that was a lot that kept me. And Green Bay is the American dream when you're old enough to realize what the American dream is.
Now, as I understand, you're also running the Harry Sidney Open this summer as a fundraiser for my brother's keeper.
Yeah, it's the greatest. It's July 27th. I consider one of the best and biggest golf tournaments around here because there's two tournaments in one.
Okay.
I have, and I do the radio show with the fan. We have the fan scramble side, which is awesome because that's for guys that like to golf. They're competitive, but you have little gimmicky games on there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one side. And the other side, the Miller Lite Shootout. On that side, that's the competitive side. That's where the first place winner wins team wins $1,000.
Cool.
I
was just wondering, you know, if our listeners are interested in this, you know, where do they go to join this?
All they got to do is check out our website at My Brother's Keeper, Inc. Hit Harry Sidney on there or check on the fan. You can give us a call at 920-884-1150. Just hit Harry Sidney in the computer. You can find My Brother's Keeper.
Cool.
And then I'll walk you through it.
One last thing before we let you go. I had read on your Wikipedia file online that you were the only player in NFL history to catch both a touchdown pass from Joe Montana and Brett Favre. Is that accurate?
You know, it's crazy. That's accurate. From a small kid from North Carolina that went through a lot of different things, go to four Super Bowls, to win three. First guy to catch a touchdown pass from Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, was a guy that Brett Favre threw his first pass to, but he wound up catching himself. Was the first non-quarterback to throw a touchdown pass to Jerry Rice.
Okay.
Kind of been around football for a long time, been very fortunate, been blessed.
So will you be there this summer when Brett Favre's Hall of Fame induction happens?
Actually, no, I'll be playing golf in the alumni golf tournament before that.
Okay.
So I'm gonna have my conversation and congratulations and all that stuff before the crowd comes. I'll let the fans and the crowd have all that. I'll just sit back and watch it on TV.
Sounds good. Well, Mr. Sidney, glad to have a few minutes of your time. Best of luck with your golf game this summer, and hopefully we'll send some golfers to you.
That'd be awesome. Thanks for having me, and you're welcome on the show anytime.
All right, thank you. Take care.
All right, buddy.
Harry Sidney, former Packers fullback, joining us on the show on a Monday morning here at Railbird Central on 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well, as we continue our conversation here.
Packers news of the day.
So over the weekend, it was learned that former Packers head coach Mike Sherman was named head coach of Nauset Regional High School in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Obviously, we just talked about this with Harry Sidney earlier, but just to go into a little more detail here, Mike Sherman had spent the past year out of football after being let go by the Miami Dolphins. As you may remember, he joined another former Packers assistant, Joe Philbin, out in Miami. Mike Sherman was the offensive coordinator there for the first 2 years of Philbin's reign, I guess you could say. Although as I do understand it, reportedly here, Mike Sherman has consulted and he's done consulting work with both some NFL professional and college teams in the past, although he largely stayed out of the coaching aspect of the game. And there's people that can say, you can argue he's basically gone, taken steps backwards, ever since being head coach of the Green Bay Packers. That basically kind of viewed as the highest there is in the profession, coaching at the NFL level. And after that, you'll remember, Mike Sherman was the coach from what, 2000, 2005, and after that, he became assistant head coach with the Houston Texans, and I believe he did that for two seasons. Was also the offensive coordinator there. Then named head coach in college at Texas A&M, and he spent 4 seasons there. I think he went to like 3 bowl games in 4 years, something like that, and had moderate success, but obviously, expectations there were much higher at Texas A&M. They expected more than what they were doing, and he was let go there. Then he goes to the Miami Dolphins, an assistant coach there, an offensive coordinator, and now here he is coaching at the high school level. And I think people can make fun of that, just kind of, taking consecutive steps backwards, I guess you could perceive that as. But you know what? I can certainly respect that. And it's nice to see Mike Sherman doing something that he loves. And you certainly can't argue that he's been nothing but a class act. As far as coaches go, you can argue about Mike Sherman's record all you want, football games won and lost, but as far as him doing things the right way, treating people the right way, I think he's pretty high up there. I'm not gonna say, he's the most well-respected coach ever or anything like that, but I the term Packers people is thrown out quite a bit, and I do think Mike Sherman kind of exemplified that. Even if he had a losing record or something like that, he was always a very good person. And like I said, did things the right way. When he was at Texas A&M, he never really heard about recruiting violations or anything like that, or if there were, they were, minor. Certainly nothing big happening there. So, I think it's cool. I think it's cool that he's gonna do what he loves. He obviously wants to stay involved in the game somehow, and moving to the coaching, high school coaching level. It's not something people haven't done before. Like the guy we just talked to, Harry Sidney. Harry was the former high school coach at Green Bay West. It's, like staying in Green Bay. Only did that a few years, but he went from being a Super Bowl winning coach with the Green Bay Packers. He was on the an assistant, the running backs coach on the team back when they won Super Bowl 31 way back in the early or mid 90s, I guess we can say, back when Mike Sherman was also an assistant on the staff, not a head coach by then. Very, very interesting how it all has played out. So, best of luck to Mike Sherman in his new ventures, looking ahead at him. And as far as
The day ahead.
in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Monday, and again, some topics we've kind of touched on earlier in the show, but fullback John Kuhn is attending the annual NFL broadcast boot camp. This is taking place out in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, where NFL Films headquarters is. And Monday is just the first day of a 4-day event that'll span 4 days total. So it'll be there Monday through Thursday. And so, obviously, to do so, he is going to be missing organized team activities in Green Bay this week. And it's an easy target to say, oh, missing practice or whatever. But if you look at a little bit further, certainly as if you follow the team closely, as you'd probably know by now, OTAs are technically voluntary. And there's not a whole, there's not anything the Packers can really do to prevent John Kuhn from attending this if he so desires. And you could certainly understand why he may be interested in this, as he enters, I think what's generally considered perhaps the final year of his career. Certainly, he's been signed to consecutive 1 year contracts, and I would be surprised if he were to sign another. I guess there's a small possibility, certainly, that John Kuhn could come back for 2016 and beyond, but I think the odds of that happening are rather low. And you know what? If John Kuhn is going to be around this year, we talked to Harry Sidney. He said it's no guarantee by any means, but if he is going to be around this year and he's signed a contract to do so, it's not the biggest deal for a veteran with as much experience as John Kuhn to miss 1 week of football. John Kuhn has been around for a very long time. I mean, I've said this so many times, I feel like a broken record, but he knows the offense inside and out. There's nobody, with the exception of Aaron Rodgers probably, who knows the Packers offense better than John Kuhn. I mean, not only is can he do the fullback, and he's kind of ran the gamut there in his fullback responsibilities from a few years ago being used more as a pass protector to the past few years, ever since Eddie Lacy has come to be more become more of a lead blocker type of role. And he's done both very well. Obviously played in the Pro Bowl this past season. I know there are some people who would argue that maybe there are better fullbacks in the NFL, but I don't think by any means is John Kuhn a bad fullback. He's done really, really well over the years. So he's what? He's in his 10th season in the NFL. To miss 1 week here is not going to really hamper anything. Hey, last week it was Brett Hundley and Ty Montgomery missing Packers OTAs due to attending the NFLPA rookie premiere. I think that was even a little bit more critical for rookies who were in their first year, all of a sudden missing the beginning of the off-season program, things like that, the first time they're doing full team practices at least. And Even then, I would argue that, well, you know, missing 1 week or a few days is not the end of the world. But for a guy that's been around as long as John Kuhn has, it's even, you know, to a lesser extent, imperative for him to be there. And, you know, the bigger thing here is, an impact or something happening because of this would be that a door is opening for Aaron Ripkowski, the Packers' sixth-round draft choice, the rookie here, who's presumably going to receive more reps now that John Kuhn is gone. And that would definitely be something to watch tomorrow as we are now entering the second week of OTAs in Green Bay. And, I don't know how comfortable the Packers would be yet with Aaron Ripkowski as, you know, basically a starter. But, the thing is, it's only practice at this point. It's not as if, the Packers are counting on Ripkowski here, and it's early September, and all of a sudden it's the season opener, and he doesn't know what he's doing yet, or not fully at least, and you can't count on him knowing his assignments and things like that. That's what this is all about. When you're in the, you know, time frame of the month of June here, as we just hit June 1st today, what better time to learn than right now for Aaron Ripkowski, who, you know, I don't know how many reps they're going to give him, but I mean, that's one thing. If you're going to watch this week, if you're going to be there, and you know, to kind of lay out the OTA schedule here, 3 days of OTAs this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The only open one is on Tuesday, the only one open to the public tomorrow. So if you're going to go, this would be one thing. How much is he involved, and how much are they doing with him? Are they getting him involved in the passing game? And, you know, what's his rapport like with Aaron Rodgers? That's got to be pretty intimidating for a rookie like that who's not really expected necessarily to be a starter, to be working with a guy like Aaron Rodgers and, you know, blocking for Eddie Lacy and things like that. So be one thing worth watching for is then certainly as well as the guys who are coming back this week, like Brett Hundley and Ty Montgomery. Ty Montgomery might not be coming back this week. As we mentioned before, he's attending Stanford. Their school is still in session. I believe, as I understand it, Ty Montgomery is going to be graduating, so he's going to attend through then, at least, which is only just a few more weeks. I think he would be back in time for minicamp, if I'm correct. For certain, Brett Hundley, that'll be a fun thing to watch this week, seeing as he missed last week due to the NFLPA rookie premiere. How is he going to do this week? How is he progressing? You got to hear a little bit of him during the Packers rookie minicamp in the immediate aftermath of the NFL draft there. But that was just two practices. It was strictly rookies, things like that. And you know, you could even argue back then, even if he was struggling, it's you know, a lot's because he's working with receivers he's never worked with before in his life. And, you know, they just brought a bunch of tryout players in who still aren't even with the team anymore. So you could understand if he struggled a little bit. So has he made any strides since that time? And, you know, it's not going to probably come right away, not going to be coming tomorrow or at least fully. He's probably still getting used to throwing to the Packers, you know, rookies currently on the roster and things like that. But, you know, just seeing as he was gone last week, it's a thing worth paying attention to as OTAs continue this week. So it was fun to see the start of them last week. I think, you know, the biggest stories were about the biggest players on the team, just because it was the first time that the players came back since last season, you know, basically since the playoff loss to Seattle. So he wanted to hear Aaron Rodgers for the first time since they lost, and find out what Clay Matthews is doing, and is he going to be inside linebacker or outside linebacker. So You know, those were some of the biggest stories. You know, the biggest guys on the team, the biggest personalities, the most popular players. Hearing from them once again and seeing what they're doing, and now that that's behind us, you can delve more into to some of the rookies here, like Aaron Ripkowski, like Brett Hundley, see how they're fitting into the team and things like that. And you know what, just something just that crossed my mind that I'm not really sure a whole lot of people have really, you know, touched upon yet, and it kind of made sense to me, is, you know, just before the start of OTAs, the Packers kind of signed this rookie cornerback, Travis Manning, kind of out of the blue, caught everybody by surprise. I mean, just in that, you know, the Packers signed a bunch of undrafted rookies right after the NFL draft. And then, you know, there was kind of a lull of several weeks before they signed Travis Manning. And, you know, one of the reasons I think they did that is now we saw last week that cornerback Casey Hayward may be out until the start of training camp in July as he's dealing with foot injury. Like I said before, it's, you know, it's probably not the biggest deal in the world that, you know, Casey Hayward may miss part of the offseason program as long as he's, you know, back by the start of training camp. But he's gone for the time being. And then we saw, you know, the first round draft pick, Demaryius Randall, for the first time in a full team practice at OTAs last week and reportedly taking part on kind of a limited basis. Apparently he did more than he did back in the rookie mini camp when he basically did nothing more or less. He actually took part in practice last week at OTAs, but as I understand, kind of held out of team drills, 11-on-11s, things like that, competitive portions of practice, and instead did more of the individual and drill work and things like that. I guess kind of, you know, as we say on the show here, taking baby steps back to full health. But when you've got Casey Hayward in a limited fashion or out for now, and you've got Demaryius Randall in a limited fashion, it makes sense that why the Packers sign that extra cornerback, you know, kind of out of the blue, so to speak. They needed bodies at the position, and so they added a little bit of depth there. So kind of worth monitoring the cornerback health situation, and the Packers certainly would probably very much like to get through the rest of the offseason at least pretty healthy at that position, you have to imagine. And they've been leaving the one roster spot open. I suppose you can say that they're doing that to maybe give themselves a little bit of flexibility, so all of a sudden, if they were to suffer an injury at another position, you know, they can keep that spot open and add anybody they want from any position they want. You know, obviously, you're not going to get a premier player. But you may get somebody at least that's worth taking a look at on the street, if nothing else. But that'll do it for today's edition of Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. Glad you could join us, everybody, and listen to the show as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Available on demand anytime after the live edition of the show is over. We'll see you later, folks. Thanks to Harry Sidney for joining the show today. If you've not done so already, please give us a rating on iTunes. One very small thing we ask. There's no paywall. There's no subscription to listen to the show. It is absolutely free. Do us a favor and give us a rating on iTunes. Helps get the word out about the show. But that'll do it. We'll see you later, folks. We'll be back again on Wednesday to talk about Packers OTAs. We'll talk about how Aaron Ripkowski and Brett Hundley did. So, talk more Packers then. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Rosie by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack. Go.